a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning to you all, our esteemed listeners. You are welcome to your weekly talk show program, Everyday Muslims, on 91.7 Women Radio. And today we will dive into the stories that have shaped our world. I am Rashida Adetun Okeolani, your host, and today we have a special episode lined up for you. Of course, Everyday Muslim is in collaboration with Women Radio and MPAC. The show is open for sponsorship and advert bookings. If you would like to place an advert or sponsor any of our shows, contact 090-5555-8668. 090-5555-8668. Today, we will be exploring one of the most significant events in Islamic history, the migration from Mecca to Medina. This journey, known as the Hijra, marked a turning point for the early Muslim community and laid the foundations for the Islamic civilization we know today. We will dive into the reasons behind this migration, the challenges faced by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers, and of course the profound impact it had on the spread of Islam. From the trials of the desert to the warm welcome in Medina, this is a story of faith, perseverance, and divine guidance. Stay tuned as we bring you this fascinating tale of courage and conviction. But before then, let's get started by this soul-lifting nasheed.
لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك اللهم لبيك. This is one thing that everyone on Hajj during this season will commit to chant until they are done with the rites of Hajj. You are welcome back. If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. Everyday Muslim is powered by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio. Join me in welcoming our guest, who is live in the studio, Sheikh Dawood Adelaku Adetokunbo.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Sheikh,
alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure being with you this morning.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Amin. Sheikh Dawood, he is the chief missionary, Association of Professionals.
Muslim professionals.
Chief Imam Omitoro Central Mosque, Ikorodu. Chairman, Ablu Kod Charitable Foundation. Today, as I said earlier, we will be exploring one of the most significant events in Islamic history, the migration of Mecca to Medina. Have you ever wondered what it takes to leave everything behind for your beliefs? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers did just that. They were faced with persecution in Mecca. They undertook a journey to Medina, seeking a safe heaven, but their intention stayed steadfast with Allah.
No.
According to the Quran, and those who believed and immigrated from and fought in the cause of Allah, and those who gave shelter and aided, it is they who are the believers truly, for them is forgiveness and noble provision. This can be gotten in Surah Anfal, Quran 8, verse 74. How did this journey change the course of history and shape the Islamic civilization? And many more questions to be answered. Of course, our guest is here, who is going to give us a lot of insight on the tale of faith and resilience. If you're just joining us, you're on to Everyday Muslim on 92.7 FM, Women Radio. Sheikh Dawood.
Nam, yes. Thank you, my sister.
Getting started.
Alhamdulillah.
We would appreciate if you can briefly explain what the Hijra is and its significance in Islamic history.
Well, alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على ما لا نبي بعده ورسولنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم أجمعين ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وهل العقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. We thank Allah, the Lord of the worlds. We thank Him so much. We adore Him. We appreciate Him. We celebrate His name. We thank you for the opportunity He has given to us be a human being and for blessing of the gift of Islam. We thank you so much, Almighty Allah. We thank you for the opportunity of this program being empowered by MPAC. We thank Allah for them. May Allah continue to increase them in faith and resources and bless them abundantly. Mm-hmm. Now, talking about the Hijrah of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we started this program. I had some nasheed with text about Hajj. This is the season which we Hajj, the season of Hajj. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. That is what, you know, encompass all the world today. May Allah make us among those who will be performing the Hajj severally in our lifetime. I mean, talking about Hijrah, basically, or in language, it means leaving a place for another place. That is migration. Leaving a place for that place. Whereas in religion, in usage, it means leaving what is forbidden unto what is permissible. In other words, the Hijrah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a significant change of moving from evil to righteousness. Move for areas where Muslims don't have peace, don't have the ability, don't have the what it takes to practice their religion, and move into a place where it will be easy for them to practice their religion, where the Islamic injunctions will be the rule of the day. We are Muslims, we have to have rules and regulations that will guide them and worship their Lord in such a way that it will be suitable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be sweetened to them too. And they will be able to have an harmonious relationship among themselves. That is Hijrah in a nutshell. It's just movement from a place to another place. That's the Muslim of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca with his companion from Mecca to Medina. That's Hijrah to Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in practice, what it entails is that everyone leaving what Allah has forbidden into what Allah has permitted is called Hijrah. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-Muslim man salama an-nasa min lisanihi wa yadi." A true Muslim is that one in which people are saved from the harms of his mouth and his hand. That is, he will never do things that will hurt people. And a muhajir, the one that has migrated, who has actually left what Allah has forbidden. If you say you're a muhajir, a migrator, it's the one that has left what Allah has forbidden into what Allah has permitted. That's what you call hijrah in language and in usage.
Jazakallahu khairan.
Amin wa antum.
Okay, moving to my next question. Why did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers decide to leave Mecca?
Yes.
Because we know there are challenges.
Of course.
In this day, we'll say that you face the challenge.
Yes.
Why did they decide to leave with his followers and not face the challenge during that time?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. You remember Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a messenger at the age of 40. For 13 years, he was in Mecca, preaching to the people. For over 13 years, the number of believers in him would never exceed 100. He kept on talking to them, preaching to them, others come from other places, talking to them. Yes, they never believe him. Though they love him and they trust him, but they never believe in the oneness of Allah, that God, worship only one God, it is something that's abroad to them. How can we worship only one God? When we have 360, it's not permissible. They know Allah is there. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kept on preaching. Because he was saying this, they were persecuting them. Muhammad was not fighting for his life. He was concerned about his followers. Most of them are weaklings. They come from a very poor family, from poor background. And because of that, the Arabs, the Quraysh, they were persecuting them. They were, you know, maltreating them. And that was why Hijra of Makkah to Medina was not the first Hijra. They are actually being in the 50th year of messengership, Hijra from Makkah to Abyssinia.
Okay.
Where they went to Negus.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two Hijra from Makkah to Abyssinia. So that was taking place before, to take care of the weaklings and not to know, to tell that it's not that he's running for his life. While he was sending his people away, he never left them alone. He sent the first people that migrated from Makkah to Abyssinia, leading them by his own son-in-law, which is friend too, with his own daughter, Ruqayya, with Uthman bin Affan, led the Hijra to Abyssinia. So not to safeguard them, other people were left behind in Makkah. So when the persecution is kissed, and he was not able to, you know, protect them very well. The rich one among them, Uthman, Abu Bakr, Ali, the world, they can defend, but there are some little poor people who cannot defend themselves. And the others kept on maltreating them. So you have to say, okay, what is the way out? Let me ask Allah for guidance on how to protect my people. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so much concerned about his followers. And that was why Allah revealed in Surah Tawbah that لَكَرِ جَاءَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا أَنِنْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَهُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. It was so much concerned that my people should not suffer. My people should not be entangled. So in order to safeguard them, to put them in the situation that they will be able to pass them just safely, he has to look for a way out to take out these people out there. That was the intention of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not because he wants to safeguard his own life. No. And for these are strategies in which Allah has made for every Muslim. Hijra is part of Islam. It is part of Islam. And it's not only Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that did Hijra. Most of the messengers before Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did Hijra. We have many of them. Even Adam Alayhi Wasallam did Hijra. Noah did Hijra. When Allah asked him to move from the place now, built a canoe and a sheep and an ark, and take away the people. So it's Hijra. Living a way of where they cannot pass through that. The same thing Musa Alayhi Wasallam did Hijra. Ibrahim alayhi salam did Hijra. Moses did Hijra. Jesus did Hijra. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam too migrated. So it is the sunnah of Islam that we make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when the angels of death comes on some people, they will say, we are weaklings. We can't fight to ourselves. We are so weak. We are depressed. We are oppressed. Allah says, Alam takun adi was yafatu hajiru fiya. Is my land not wide enough? If you cannot pass your religion here, move to another person and pass your religion. So it was hard for them to be able to practice religion effectively. That is why Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated. Not because he was asked to face the, challenges. For 13 years he was facing the challenges. He was facing the challenge for 13 years. They were persecuted. They were sent out. They were, you know, they were annihilated. They were excommunicated. Yet he stood firm. He never raised harm against anybody among them. He was facing it headlong. Until it was for the truth of Allah on how, what do I do with my people? How do I safeguard my people? And he kept on doing dua. Rabbi dakhilni madkhala sidiqi wa akhrijni makhraja sidiqi waj'al li min ladunka sittan nasira. Oh Allah, give me, you know, a perfect exit from this torment that I tormented my people, and a good, you know, exit, an entry into another place where I'll be able to, you know, safeguard my people. And give me a superior authority from you. So Hijra is part of Islam, and it was done to safeguard the people. And that too, any leader must ensure that when you have followers, you must protect their interests. You don't endanger their lives. And that is why Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did Hijra, not that he was not facing the problem all along.
Jazakallah khairan. I'm sure that our listeners have gotten that. If you're just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. Our phone lines will be open shortly. For calls, 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917. Prefer to use the text message or WhatsApp, 07031756537, 07031756537. Sheikh.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you mentioned that there were lots of challenges and the Prophet faced it for so many years before moving to Medina. Oh, really? We have a call? What were the main challenges and forms of persecution faced by the early Muslims in Mecca?
Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of any form of persecution, they all faced it. They are driven away from the city, you know, made an outcast. We refused to be sold, anything to be sold to them. They were not buying any business, doing any business with them. Sorry, they took their wives. Yes.
Sorry, Sheikh. I think we have a call. Assalamu alaikum.
My name is Salah.
Where are you calling from?
Agbonike.
Can you speak louder a bit, please?
Just one call for Agbonike too. Okay.
Agbonike, just like what Sheikh is doing.
Okay.
We also need a leader like that, whether politically, to take us to the promised place where we're supposed to be. Because as you can see where people are shouting, suffering, hardship, I can listen to him just exactly if you can have the wisdom to sit down and think and realize where to go, what do we do and what to do. I think we can get things right because most of us now, the wisdom is affecting us. Not to know where to go or what to do. So that's what I want to say. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you very much, sir. That's a very good one. I'm going to address it shortly before we continue this lecture, inshallah.
Jazakallah, Karen. Okay, you're speaking about the challenges.
So the challenges, there are a lot of challenges. Like, you see, Musa ibn Umair, you see, Bilal. The Bilal was a servant, just an African. And what did you do? They put him in Osun. Abu Jahl put him in Osun, put a horse stone on his chest, and then keep on torturing him until he said, just to say, to refuse to say La ilaha illallah. He kept on saying it. Similarly, Musa ibn Umair. So was Asma. With all these ones, they were all tortured physically. Then they were annihilated. They were sent out of the city of Mecca. They refused to sell to them. They refused to buy from them. They were in hunger. They had nothing to eat. Some of them take the wives. Those who are married, they will take away my, of course, you are a Muslim. I'm going to take my daughter away from you. I'm going to say, so all kind of persecutions were there that Muslims were going through. There are no clothes to wear. There were no food to eat. Yet they endured all this. And that was not the reason. So at the end of the day, when Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw that, he stood up to go to Abyssinia. Then, but that, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala never sent a messenger except he sent some helper to them. So Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had Khadija, but Khuwailid, his wife, supporting financially for those who don't have anything. He kept on buying food for them, supporting them. Then he has his uncle, Abi Talib, was also there, giving support, spiritual support, political support, social support. But in the 8th year of Hijrah, or the 7th year of Hijrah, both of them died. The year is called the year of sorrow. Both of them died. And when they died, people were making jest of Muhammad. Who are your helpers now? Who are those to help you now? You are going, we cannot capture you now. Because the head of the tribe of Quraysh was his uncle. And now he's dead. So Muhammad had to actually go to Taif. He kept on talking to people that come for Hajj. Don't forget that Hajj had been there before Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People used to think Muhammad brought Hajj. No. Muhammad never brought Hajj. Hajj has been there from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It was Ibrahim that built the house. And after build the house, it's like complete the house and do the rest of Hajj. So after Muhammad and after Ibrahim and Ismail, people that came, they forget about the true rite of Hajj. And they corrupted it. So Muhammad only came to reform it, reform the Hajj. Just like Islam too has been there before Muhammad came. He only came to reform Islam. So he went to Taif. When people come from outside, they come. He talks to them. Believe in one Allah. Allah is only one. Can you imagine if there are two or three gods? What will happen to the world? So he kept on convincing people to accept Islam. So when these people too died, he went to Taif. The people of Taif stoned him and refused him. So it's called the year of sorrow. Then what else to do? So he kept on talking to people that comes in the day of Tashrik. The 3 days that people, the Hujjah sent in Mecca, they sent in Mina, those are the days of, familiarization, socialization. So if you see people don't go for Hajj, they go and visit themselves. So he took advantage of that to be talking to people from different times, from Yemen, from Syria, from Yathrib, and everywhere, until he was able to meet the people of Medina, people of Yathrib. 7 of them met him. He talked to them about, what do you think about Islam? You are in the place, you have the Jews, you have the Christians where you are. You know what is happening? You have 2 tribes, the House and the Khazraj. You have problems. You want support from Quraysh. Can I give you a better offer? So what's the offer? I want to offer you that accept Islam and accept the Muslims there. They will also support you. And that was why he had a negotiation with the people of Yathrib. and that forms the basis for the preparation for hijra. We are going to come to that. Even if you must do hijra in your life, if you have a habit that's a bad habit and you want to drop, you must be strategic about it. You don't just jump into it. The Prophet Muhammad performed hijra from Mecca to Medina. He never stood up one day and said, everybody, you start moving. No. He prepared a ground for them. Just like this guy with Abraham just said, we need a leader, a visionary leader that will be able to pray. This is where we are going. How do we go there? Getting prepared the ground strategically before moving. Not moving after we now take of what to do. Before you move, what do you want to do? How do you want to get? What do you want to do? So this is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the greatest strategist. So he had this, you know, relationship with the people of Yathrib, and they accepted to the first, we call the first pledge of Aqaba. Aqaba is a mountain between Mecca and Mina. And that's where they met. They had, there's the second year, in the 12th year of Hijra, he had a second meeting with them. They were now 72. And they all had an allegiance, agreement with him, that we agree to support you. We agree that we practice Islam, that we agree we will not steal, that we will not commit zina, that we will not cheat, that we will not embezzle, that we will not be killing our children. That is what I want from you. Listen, what is in for us? He said, what's in for us? That I will create unity between all of you. The house and the Khadraj, I will create unity. The dichotomy will be removed when I come there, inshallah. And besides, when you worship Allah, Allah promises you Al-Jannah, which is the greatest. And for this, they had this allegiance with Muhammadu sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that was the beginning of the preparation for Hijrah. Naam.
Jazakallahu khairan. If you're just joining us, you're on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM, Women Radio. Everyday Muslim is powered by Empire, collaboration with Women Radio. Our phone lines are now open, and of course, people have started calling. For calls, 07000917917. For text message and WhatsApp, 07031756537. Sheikh.
Yes, ma'am.
How can you describe the route taken by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr during the migration to Medina?
Alhamdulillah, thank you very much. It's a very, very good question. It's a very, very German question. In anything you want to do in life, you must have a strategy. You must have a plan. How do I go about it? Allah has created us as created with intellect, and we must put to use this intellect. Why we have a problem in Islamic Ummah today is that, just like my brother have just said, we don't think deeply. And we don't strategize well. And that is why, don't forget, we have enemies. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had enemies. Before he migrated, after having this allegiance and the pact with the people of Quraysh in the 13th year, the people of Mecca, Quraysh, they noticed that, okay, after Hajj, he has had meeting with this. So what do we do? If we allow this guy to escape, then he will come on us. So they plotted. And that's why Allah says, "Wa idh yamkuru bika alladhina kafaru liyuthbituka aw yaktuluka aw yukhrijuka wa yamkuruna wa yamkuru Allah wallahu khairu makirin." Allah said this in Suratul Anfal, ayah 80. Allah says, when the people of the Quraysh, when they were plotting against you, Surah Quran 8, ayah 30, they were plotting that they will kill you, that liyuthbituka, to imprison you, aw yaktuluka, or to kill you, assassinate you, or you ought to excommunicate you. William Kuru said they were plotting. Allah is plotting. Allah is great plotters. So they were thinking, what do we do with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They were having this meeting in Dar Nadwa. As they were having the meeting, Shaitan came in front of human being and said, can I give you an idea on what to do with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So what do we do? Because if you kill him, his people will fight. The Quraysh had an allegiance. There are 7 tribes. If you kill anyone, the other one will retaliate. Okay, fine. If you excommunicate him, this guy is, you know, sugar-coated mouth. He will go and convince people, they come and wage war against you. If you say you want to excommunicate him, he will go and meet some other people. If you imprison him, his people will fight for him to free him. Those who believe in them fight him. So what do? The best thing is that let us choose one person from each of the tribes. Several of you, you strike him at the same time. Who killed him? We all kill him. Who killed him? We all kill him. So if he can do that, then you'll be free. Because Shaitan, he came in front of human being. We must be very aware of Shaitan. Devil will not come like a devil to anybody. He will come in form of a human being. He will come in form of an advisor. I come of a friend. And he will give you wrong advice. And you take it, that's Shaitan. It's a devil. Devil doesn't come like a devil. It comes in form of human being. So he came down that, and Allah told Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look, this is what they were plotting. and they were good, and they have plotted this night they are going to strike you. So the message came to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the afternoon. So in the afternoon, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Abu Bakr Siddiq. So Abu Bakr Siddiq, I have gotten an instruction from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Prior to this period, I said he has been praying to Allah in Quran 17:80. Rabbi dakhilni mudakhala siddiqi wa akhrijni makhraja siddiqi wa ij'al min ladunka sultana nasira. As he was planning, he was praying, Allah give me guidance, give me guidance. Anything you want to do, you need the guidance from Allah. He prayed to Allah. And when the time comes, Allah said, okay, fine, it is night time. Muhammad, you have to migrate. In the afternoon, he went to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr said, Muhammad, messenger of Allah, you don't come out in the afternoon like this. What happened? He said, it has happened. Allah has given instruction for us to migrate. What do? You take care of our means of transportation. Abu Bakr said, I've always been doing this thing before. I was waiting for this day when you're going to give me the instruction. So what did he do? He got a professional who knows the routes, who knows the shortcuts. The regular route is there from the north, and who knows the shortcut that is not a regular route where people can take to escape. He got Raikit, he got his service. At the same time, he got two good camel who are healthy. He got them. So Muhammad, I'm preparing for, you know, how to move. Beyond that, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did what? He asked his son Abdullah and his daughter Asma and his servant, say, these two of you have role to play. They are going to move. How are you going to move? We are going to move in the time when they will not suspect us. And when we move, then you will be driving the camels to cover our footpaths. You will be bringing food to us and the milk. And you will be taking us through the deserts. So Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was the strategy. But on the night of that day, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on his bed. And he told Ali, that is why a good Muslim must be strategic. And he must have an alibi. So he took Abu Bakr, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali, because Muhammad, people had so much trust in him. They kept a lot of things in his custody. Some people kept money, some kept clothes, some kept some agreements, some pledges with him that help us to keep. Because they trust the Prophet Al-Amin, they trustworthy. They kept with him to keep all this thing for him. So those things are in his custody. Muhammad, how do I live while people's properties are in my hand? Can you see? Despite his life, he was still considered about what this trust people had in him. He never said, no, it's my life now, then let anybody go to hell. No, he was concerned about, even though they were not Muslims. So those who kept things with him were not Muslim. They kept things with him, and he was concerned about these things. So he said, Ali, you know what? You sleep on the bed. While I go out in the night, Allah will protect me. So that when they woke up in the morning, when they're looking at me, they will think, I'm the one there, alibi. And it's the same disguising. At the same time, when they come in the morning for their goods, say, okay, the Muslim master has asked, this one belongs to you, this one belongs to you, this one belongs to you, to return all this. These are the trustworthiness, the quality of a good leader. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was concerned about his people so much, about everybody. Those who believe in him and those who never believe in him. But they have trusted him by keeping something in his custody. He wants to return to them. So this he did. So on the night of that day, on the night, they came to meet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in the night, to attack Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the night, that is in the Rajab, in the Safar 14, they came there to attack Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were looking at him on the bed. They saw it was sleeping. They were waiting for the time he would go for Salat in the morning, waiting for the time. And Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has actually left when they were there starting. Allah told Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to do some little prayer. Allah told him to say in Suratul Yasin, everybody read Suratul Yasin, Quran 36, Ayah 9. So, وَجْعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ سَدَّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَأَوْلَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah said, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, take some dust and put on all of these people who sleep off. So, وَجْعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ سَدَّا, I will put before them a barrier. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّا, and behind them a barrier. For I will show them, I will tie everything together. For who are you, Sirun? They cannot see you. Brothers and sisters, we must have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must have faith. You see, the cloud for the reign of shame of a Muslim can be there on the sky, but the rain will never fall. The rain will never fall. Rain of shame will never fall in a good believer. They add this. They were sealed and they cannot. And Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed in front of them. sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They never saw him, and they went to Abu Bakr Siddiq. And Abu Bakr Siddiq and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they left on Friday morning. They all both left, and they went take the south route into the cave of Ira. They went to the cave of Ira, and the cave of Ira, both of that on the 27th of Safar, which is 12th of September 622 CE. 12th of September 622 CE, which was the 27th of Safar. That was when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on Thursday, that's when they left the night, and they went to Abu Bakr. And on the 13th year of the messenger, on the 13th year of messengership, that's the 13th year of messengership, that is 13 years after he has become the messenger. Imagine this patient for the first 13 years, he was with them. But when the message now came that you should leave, he now migrated from Makkah to Abu Bakr Siddiq. They went into the Jabal called Jabal Thawr. They were joining the Kif Thawr. They were in Jabal Thawr. They stayed there, and that is why they stood in Jabal Thawr till, you know, the morning. Meanwhile, at that time, Abdullah and Abu Bakr has been informed to be listen to what they are saying in the city, to come and bring Abdullah, which is the son of Abu Bakr, to come and give the information. What's happening? Look at the strategy. They were there, they had an informant to be giving them information. At the same time, Ahmed bin Furaira is the servant of Abu Bakr. He'll be bringing the food. And while bringing the food, he has the animal, the sheep, behind him. So as he's walking, because people are training them, they'll be walking, then they'll be, that will be, you know, covering their footpath until they get to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they go to the area. And Asma, which is daughter of Abu Bakr, will bring in the food. That's what they call Asma, the woman with the two belts. He will use the belt, we put the bread inside the belt and tie it 1 hour to cover it, so they don't know what it's carrying. So that is how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For 3 days, they were in the cave of Ira.
Okay.
While they were there, the Quraysh at that time, they were, you know.
I was even going to ask a question.
Okay, please do.
I was going to ask a question. That there was an incident, it's one event that have occurred during their stay in that cave.
Yeah.
But what you have been saying earlier on, comparing their migration, then the route that the Prophet took with Abu Bakr, that means that they were being strategic.
Yes.
At the same time, they had faith. And yes, they also, being strategic also led them to having people outside that could listen.
The fact that you have faith does not mean you will not do the right thing. You will not follow for permission.
Good.
Your faith must be balanced with practicality. You don't have absurd faith. You don't have a vague faith. You have faith. Allah has given us intellect. To use our intellect. So, because you cannot say, because Allah can feed me, I will fast, I will never eat. No. Allah knows that you need some energy. So the fact that you have faith, you must have people to give you information. Knowledge is very, very important in everything you do. You need knowledge of professionals. And we'll come to that later, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, he always believes in professionalism in everything. Muhammad believes in professionalism in everything. And that's why he says, even when you kill well. Sharpen your knife. That's killing an animal. You don't just say, it's an animal, let me kill it. No. If you want to be a medical doctor, you must be a professional. Say what you want to do, when you want to meet, you want to talk about your health, don't go to any mediocre. Even if you say Muslim, if it's not professional, don't go to him. So professionalism is very, very important in Islam. And you must engage the types of professionals. You don't work on sentiments in Islam. You don't work on sentiments, you work on those who have information on it. So Furaira was not a Muslim, but he had the information, he had the knowledge, so he used him. So the same thing, Raikit was not a Muslim. He was the one to be bringing, to be guiding them. Yes, he used him because he was a professional. So professionalism is very, very important in Islam, which is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has demonstrated there, whether it's a Muslim or not.
So
now, you see, when they were now in the cave, some incidents happened, right?
Yes.
So when they were in the cave, what kind of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there? Abu Bakr Siddiq, you know, had the sat down and had the head of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his thighs. So a scorpion now was about to sting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr saw the scorpion. Rather than allow the scorpion to sting the messenger, he allowed it to sting him, protecting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs to notice what happened, you are feeling something, he just kept quiet. And when he knew that it was a scorpion, he actually raised it. While they were in the cave, the Quraysh He has sent one of the the warriors in Quraysh to go and seek for the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Big Abu Bakr and Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left dead or alive to bring them, and they were pursuing them. A lot of things, as this happened in the road, they were not able to get to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Quraysh to have gone to the mouth of the cave, Surah called Muhammad, they were seeing the eyeballs of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they were afraid. The Abu Bakr said, "Oh, Muhammad, if they look at that, if they look down, they will see us." Allah says, the Muhammad said, "No. What is the real, what's your opinion about two?" And Allah is their third. And that's why Allah says, "In lam tansuruhu faqad nasara Allah. Iz akhraja alladhina kafaru thaniya ithna iz umma fil ghar idh yakul li sahibi la tazan inna Allah ma'ana." Don't be sad. Allah is with us. So they had all these incidences, these problems in the cave. Yet Abu Bakr endured all those things to protect. So similarly, we must have, if you have a leader, we must be able to protect our leader. We must speak well of our leader. We must believe in our leader. We don't castigate our leader. We don't subject our leader to danger. Abu Bakr protect Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with everything he has. So all this happened in the cave. Now,
yeah, the example of carrying, that is, it was really loaded. Sheikh, how did the Hijra lead to the establishment of the first Islamic state in Medina and the influence, the development of Islamic laws and governance in Medina?
Alhamdulillah, this is where we are going. Because Hijra, migrating, this and that, has nothing to do with us. What you actually do is the lessons from the Hijra, the lesson from how Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed it, what he went through, how he endured, wait for the right time. If you must migrate, you must do anything, wait for the right time. You want to marry, wait for the right time. You want to divorce, wait for the right time. You want to have children, wait for, whatever you want to do, wait for the right time and wait for instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those ones Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, which were, it's not about the story. We are supposed to be picking points on what are the lessons from each stage which he passed through. This is what everybody must make Hijra, even our businesses. We do some business, this is not paying, it's not paying me more. I want to change my line of business. I want to diversify. Yes, it's an Hijra. You are moving from one business to another business, Hijra. You are diversifying. How do you diversify? What do you need to do before you diversify? It's important, all these things to do, you know. And what is going to be the effect on me and upon people, those who are close to me? Every decision I want to take, what's going to be the effect on the people around me? Which is what Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was doing. So Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after we said he migrated, after that they pursue him, they did not give. Invariably, after the 11th day, he got to Cuba. Cuba was where he is. Another lesson I want to take from that: when he got to Cuba, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say, "I've gone to where I'm going. Let me go to Medina." Their ultimate destination is Medina, but he got to Cuba. Was 25 kilometers to Medina. He did not go. He waited for Ali that he asked to stay behind.
Okay.
A good leader. He waited for Ali. I ask you to wait because everybody, before Muhammad moved, everybody has moved. All the male Muslims have moved, except very few female are there. They have all moved. He made sure that everybody is safe before he moved. Before he moved, everybody was safe. So everybody has gone to Medina before he moved. Now he has left Ali behind. It was what Ali wait and settle this thing. So third day, Ali too left and joined them later in Cuba. And the first thing he did in Cuba was to build a mosque. That was the first mosque built after Kaaba.
Okay.
The first mosque ever built by mankind after Kaaba, my mom was the one that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam built in Cuba. So after that, he now migrated from Cuba to, he now left Cuba to Medina. Now, going to Medina now, this is where we are going. What happened to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina? How did he deal with the Muslims there? In Medina, there were Muslims. In Medina, there were Jews. In Medina, there were Christians. In Medina, there are polytheists. How did he deal with all of them?
Yeah. Sheikh, before we go on, if you're just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. Everyday Muslim is powered by Empire Collaboration with Women Radio. Our phone lines are still on. For calls, 07000917917. For SMS or WhatsApp, 07031756537. Where you were going to, there is a question I want to link to it.
Okay, ma'am.
That there are some actions, the first actions that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took to unite the Muhajirun and the Ansars.
Yes.
So I would like you to link it up okay. with that question.
No problem, inshallah. That's where we are going. Muhammad, the ultimate objective of Muhammad Islam is to form an Islamic Ummah. That is the objective of going to Medina, is to have a Muslim community called an Ummah, where there will be Muslims all living together harmoniously, where the laws of Allah will be able to be applied. You remember when Muhammad was in Mecca, we don't have laws. We're only talking about Akida, faith. There are no laws. If you divorce, how do you do it? If you want to marry, how do you do it? If you want to have children, how do you do it? Not just that, no stringent laws. If somebody steal, what's his punishment? If only fornicate, what's the punishment? This was not, because they were not having an Islamic environment. They were in an environment where people are hostile. You want to have laws where you are being hostile. Why do you yourself, you are taken as a criminal. You're a criminal, say, wants to have a law. How can you have a law? When you take it as a criminal, as a destitute yourself, even there is a turn. So the objective is actually to create an Islamic Ummah. Now, how do we do this? Now, people have been there in Medina. We have the Medinites, which is called the Ansar, the helpers. Those who have migrated from Mecca to Medina, don't forget that most of them were rich before they left Mecca. They had their businesses, they had their homes, they had their families. But because of their religion, because of their faith, they ran with their faith, leaving everything behind. Some of them, when they were driven at the border, they tell them, look, you can't go. You have this money, Abdurrahman bin Khawf. You have this money, how can you go? You made this money in Mecca, you cannot take this money away. He said, what I want is, I just want my life. If you want the money, take all this money. Even he was telling them where he kept some money behind. Go to some place with someone, I bury them there. So I want to leave my faith and go. So they all go to Mecca. So when did they go to Mecca? They go to Medina. The first thing Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did was it. People were inviting him, come here, come and stay with us. Muhammad no answered them. Of course, Allah uses Qaswa to tell where he's going to land. Now, the first thing he did was to build a masjid. A mosque in Mecca. But how did he build that masjid? That's why the lesson I want to learn here. People, as in the Al-Ayyub al-Ansari, that's how he actually landed. But he wanted to build, he said, this land belongs to who? So this family said, we gave you to build. Say, don't give me to build a house. Let us buy this land. So they have what? They can have control over it. If they give you that shoe, somebody can say it belongs to our father. It's our father's land. You ask a Bakri, how much is it? A Bakri paid for the land. That's what he did. Now after that, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now the first thing he did was to call the people together. The people together. The Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, all of them came to welcome him. Come him. Abdullah ibn Abi Salam, one of the Jews, he said, I was close monitoring Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to see what he was going to do first. And Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called on them, are you a nurse, O mankind? Not all Muslim, not all people of the book, not only the polytheists. No, it's are you a nurse? You Muslim, you people of the book, the Jew, the Christians, the polytheists, all of you, I'm calling you. I've come to maintain peace and harmony between of you. What do you do? Afshu salam. Spread good greetings among yourself. Spread peace. I come for peace. The house and the Khadraj, the two tribes, I want to be in peace. What a mutu'am. Some people are poor. Ensure that you have feed those who are poor. Wasil arham. Keep your blood ties. And number four, wasallu bilayl wa nasu niyam. Then pray in the night while people are sleeping. When you do this, tadkhulu jannata rabbikum bisalam. You will enter the paradise of your Lord with peace, with salam. That's what they call Abdus Salam. The word that brought it is called Abdullah ibn Salam. The Hadith started with Afshu Salam and it ends with Bisalam. That's what they call Abdus Salam. This is what he did. After that one now, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now brought all the Wahajirun and Ansar. He brought them together. The Muhajirun and Ansar. It's called Uhuwa, the Islamic brotherhood that he created between the Muhajirun and Ansar. The Ansar, they were there in Medina. They were the residents. The Muhajirun, they were the migrants. They migrated from Mecca to Medina. They have left everything behind. So most of them are now poor. They don't have anything. How would they live harmoniously? The one that is rich and one that is poor. You cannot live with friends. When you have to eat, I don't have what to eat. So the first is that he creates what you call Islamic brotherhood among all of them. He now said, the Ansar, lying on this side. Because remember, he has taken a pledge from them before, before he come to Medina, that you are going to support me and you are going to support the people who have come from Makkah to Medina. And they have agreed with him. So he was doing it based on agreement, that agreement that I'm going to come to Medina. Do you support me? You pray that's going to support me and support the Muhajirun. They said yes. So based on that, he was able to say, based on our agreement, that you will support people are coming. Therefore, you people line up on this side. And they say, okay, the Ansar to the Muhajirun too, line up on this side. The two of them lined up. The Muhajirun now start peering them. Who is in business among you? Who's in agriculture among you? I'm in agriculture. Come. You, I know you very well because he knows people from Mecca. He knows them, he knows their job. But those in Medina does not know. He just come in. Doesn't know who what they are, what they possess. So he ask them first, what do you do? I'm an engineer. Okay, fine. You too, hey brother, you are an engineer from Mecca. Come and you and this brother, an engineer from there, you have become brothers.
Okay.
You are an agriculturist from Mecca. Go come and join this agriculturist from Medina. Become brothers.
Uh-huh.
You are a trader, come and join. So he brought them together. Among the seven that he fought, brothers is so common among them, the first was Abu Bakr Siddiq, wa Kharijat bin Zuhair. Abu Bakr, which is best friend, and Kharijat bin Zubair, both of them are traders. He brought them together as brothers. Similarly, he brought Umar bin Khattab, we all know Umar Khattab, the second Khalifa. He brought it with Utban bin Malik. He joined them together as brothers. Then Abdurrahman bin Khawf was Sa'd bin Rabi'i. He brought them together as brothers. So about seven like that, I don't want to be mixed. He brought them together as brothers.
Hmm.
So what did you do? Okay, and they said, why? You're my brother now. My brother from Mecca. I have two houses. This is my house. I have two houses. Take one and I will take one. Choose one of the two houses. Can you imagine that magnanimity? Choose one of the two houses. I take one. I have so much money. I'm in this business. We divide this business to two. You take half, I take half. To the extent that some people say that it came to some people that had two wives. And they say, my brother from the Muhajirun, you don't have a wife, I have two wives. This is my two wives. Take care of my two wives. I will divorce him and become your wife.
Huh.
You can see the kind of love that existed between two of them. That a Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. None of you stay hungry. Why the other one? Do not say fool. Why the other one is hungry? You see yourself as one. You are like a building in which one part stretching the other part. Okay. If anything happens to anyone, it happens to you. You are like a body, like a house, like a head. Okay. If anything happens to part of the body, it affects the head. That is what you are. That's the kind of brotherhood Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created in Medina. And that is why they became like one. They were fighting for themselves. Until he came to Abdurrahman bin Khawf. Abdurrahman bin Khawf was one of the richest person in Medina, in Mecca. So when he came to Abdurrahman bin Khawf, and Abdurrahman bin Khawf went to Sa'd bin Rabi'i. Sa'd bin Rabi'i, you are my brother. Sa'd bin Rabi'i, you are my brother. So you take, borrow me money. Sa'd bin Rabi'i said, Abdurrahman bin Khawf, I'm giving you all this money. Let me divide my thing to two, take one. He said, I don't want, just give me money, borrow me money. Inshallah, I'll return this money to you. And he bought him some money. And sometimes he invested it. This is the kind of thing, we don't take advantage. Sometimes so we too, because somebody say, because you are poor and somebody is rich, you will not take advantage of the person. You now such is, no, why don't you allow him to borrow you money? Invest the money and return his capital to you, to him. Today we have many problems like that among our Muslims. Some people, Allah has blessed them with some wealth and anything. Some are not well to do. Rather, you say, let me just labor and make my own money. You want to sit down on somebody else who sweats? Want to start eating and milking him? No, Abdurrahman never did that. He said, borrow me money. And he took the money and invested it and he came back. After 2 years, Mr. Allah saw Abdurrahman bin Auf. He saw some saffron in his body, some shine things. He said, Abdurrahman, Tazawajja, have you married? He says, yes, Tazawajja bin Ansar. I'm married bin Ansar and I've given so much gold. Said, wow, how do you make it? He said, well, Allah bless my business. Allah said, even if you touch sound to become money for you. That's the kind of brotherhood Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created. So hijra in essence is to make us come to as well as one, to assist each other, but not to take advantage of ourselves.
Alhamdulillah. Briefly, Sheikh, can you explain the importance of the Prophet's mosque? in Medina and the slogans to Muslims? That's my number one question briefly. And the other one is, how has Mecca and Medina been able to hold the religious importance for Muslims, especially during Hajj and Umrah?
Well, alhamdulillah, the Mecca, the Medina Mosque, is the third holiest mosque after Kaaba. So as the second after Kaaba, it is Masjid Madawi. Then you have the Jerusalem. Is this the signal is that it's a mosque that bring the Muslims together. Because in Medina, remember I told you in Mecca there were no laws. It was in Medina when brotherhoods came that at last started bringing laws into the Muslims. So it unifies them. It's a place where they hold everything. It's like Islamic center. Politically, that's where they meet. Socially, that's where they meet. If there's any case that's to be adjudicated between Muslims and non-Muslims, that's where they meet. Between Muslim and Muslim, that's where they meet. It's their court. That mosque is everything. It is the court for the Muslim. It's the assembly center for the Muslim. It is the praying ground for the Muslim. It's the school where people come to acquire knowledge. From far and wide, they came there. Abu Hurairah, all of them, they came there too. It's a guest house for those less privileged who have come from far away to come. So it is all, it's a center for the Islamic Ummah. Everything about Islam is there. Educationally, socially, spiritually, you know, politically, that is the center of everything for the Muslim Ummah. So it's the heart of Islam, which Muhammad established. And that is why it's important for all of us too. Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj, Quran 22, ayat 36, الَّذِينَ إِمَّا كَنَّوا فِي الْعَدِّ أَقَوَمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوُا عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. That wherever a Muslim gets to, the first thing you must try to look for is, where do I pray?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I pray? And where we are able to command good deeds? Where we are able to help the poor? That is what that stands for. So Mecca and Medina, of course, that is the Mecca. It is the house of Allah, which Allah has built at his house that everybody must accomplish. And there, that you have a prayer there, you have 100,000 reward. So the heart of every Muslim goes there because Ibrahim has prayed for it. That is the heart of Muslim. That's the focal point of every Muslim Ummah.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them, they are called Al Aramain and Sharifain.
Okay.
The two sacred houses. On the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we all come to read. When you get to Mecca, you see the oneness of Ummah. You see that the high, the low, the rich, you see all of them coming together. When you go to Medina, you see the serenity, the brotherhood of Islamic Ummah. Both of them come to play in Islam.
Jazakallah khairan. We have a question here. Assalamu alaikum. Please emphasize on being a walking Quran to us Muslims.
Alhamdulillah.
We should work on our character, morals, and not just adoring the hijab and the beard. Thank you, sir.
That is it. Alhamdulillah. That's a
thank
very good
MPAC
question.
Thank you, MPAC and WFM.
That is what Islam is all about. And that is why Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Aisha radiallahu anha, when they ask her, tell us about the conduct of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is his conduct, his character? He said, Khulku al-Quran. Muhammad is a walking Quran. Muhammad is a walking Quran. All his conduct is Quran, and that is what we Muslim must be. Not just Muslim by name. We can't trust ourselves. We can't say help ourselves. We can't. So we are not living unity. We are enemies of ourselves. We should. Islam teaches good conduct, good moral, socially, economically, spiritually. That's what Islam says. So we Muslim must travel to ensure that we live the Quran in everything we do. Wallahu alam.
Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum. Your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Timothy from Owe.
Your name, please?
Good afternoon, this Timothy from Owe.
Okay, you're welcome. Your question, please?
Yes, I have a question.
Sorry, we can't hear you properly. I think you are very close to your radio.
Yes, I said I have a question.
Please say it, sir.
Can I have a question?
Please go ahead with your question.
We are listening, sir.
Okay. Is it appropriate to use 90 billion naira for pilgrimage when Nigerians are suffering?
Well, you are on to Everyday Muslim. Our topic for today is Mecca to Medina.
Now, your question, that is it? I don't understand the question.
I think I guess maybe you wanted to make a call to another station.
Okay, it's all right. So this is I think we can summarize this because time is fast spent. I just give you 10 points which are the significance about the Hijra of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Okay.
So we learned that Hijra of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, what in this year is called 1445 years after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated. So it was Umar ibn Khattab that actually started the Islamic calendar to be used with Hijra. From the time Muhammad was migrated from Mecca to Medina, we started the calendar of Islam. That's 1445 years again, and that is actually showed us the perseverance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it tells us the cooperation among the Muslims, among the Muslim Ummah, and it tells us about the significance of tracing the events and milestone of trends of Islamic history. Every Muslim must try to learn about Hijra to apply it to his own to his own life. And it is also tells us about how the Muhajirun and the Ansar, how they cooperated. We see in every society which we are, let us see the migrants, we see the residents, how do we help ourselves? The cooperation between the leaders and the led, how do we see the vision of the leaders? We learn from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do we imbibe in ourselves today? In every community we have, there will always be a vacuum for leadership. Are we prepared to be a leader? How do we lead so that they will see a Muslim as an exemplary, as want to be actually emulate as a model in everything, just like Muhammad has been a model. So these are some of the things that you need to learn about our social life, political life, spiritual life. This Hijra should try to influence each and everyone in our lives. So we must be strategic as a Muslim. We should not be the laughing, we should not be the laughing stock. Muhammad was never a laughing stock. He was a perfect human being and the life sent to mankind. So we learn from his life, and we must try to read his life and learn and take everything we want to do, take an instance from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anything want to do, there's no problem. If you have the serum, if you know the serum of Rasulullah, you always see an impact from there, an insight from there to guide us through. Wallahu alaikum salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Zakullahu khairan, Sheikh Dawood Adelaku Adetokubo. Really appreciates you coming to the show. I'm sure that our listeners who have learned a lot of lessons and how we can implement and apply Hijra in all
in our daily lives.
As a Muslim, yes. Khairan. Appreciation goes to MPAC and WFM for putting up this wonderful program. Also, a big thank you to my producer, Mariam, and the engineer, Timothy. I thank you all for joining us today on the journey, Mecca to Medina. Of course, it's a story of faith, sacrifice, and divine destiny. As we reflect on the Hijra, let us also inspire others and also remain steadfast in our beliefs and resilience in the face of adversity. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "The deeds are considered by the intentions, and a person will get the reward according to his intention. So whoever immigrated for Allah and his apostle, then his immigration was for Allah and his apostle. And whoever immigrated to take the worldly benefits or for a woman to marry, his immigration was for what he has immigrated for." That is at its one, which every one of us should always remember. May Allah make this year a success for all those in Hajj, performing Hajj as we speak. And also may Allah answer the prayers of those who still wish to be called.
Amen.
Until next time, same station, same time. I am Rashida Adetun Okeolani, your saying masalam. Enjoy the rest of your weekend with this nasheed. Waiting for the call by Ifran Maki.